We all know the Alec Baldwin story by now, what happened, how horrible the tragedy is. There's actually a guy who runs the prop department on movie studios, and he's putting out his two cents, what he thinks about it.
So a lot of people have been wanting to hear my take on the incident on the set of the movie Rust. And I've been a little hesitant because I didn't want to make speculations. There wasn't much information, and I really wanted some more information to come out. Now they're having some court documents released. And I believe I can discuss the protocols that were breached, which led to the firearm killing cinematographer Helena Hutchins and injuring director Joel Souza. For starters, my heart goes out to the Hutchins family, Joel Souza, and the entire crew. So one thing that's bugging me from all the articles is they keep talking about a misfire. Misfire 3 days before the incident. The incident was a misfire. Well, a misfire is when a gun doesn't fire. What actually happened would be accidental discharge. First and foremost, most important protocol is no live ammo on the set.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
No live rounds. A live round is a cartridge with a slug in it, a bullet that can kill someone. It appears that rule was breached. And next, once you have your cart set up with your guns, you do not leave it unattended. You always have someone with their eyes on it from your department.
Yes.
From what I've read, the first assistant director walked outside of the set to the weapons cart and grabbed one of three weapons that were sitting there on a cart that was unattended. Mm. That's a breach. And the next breach in protocol is the first AD grabbing a gun. No one should grab a gun except the armor or the prop master. They were using Western revolvers. And when we do that, we use real revolvers. And we use blanks for when there's gunfire. And then we use dummy rounds. You shake them, there are BBs inside where black powder normally would be. It's my understanding that it was a close-up on Alec Baldwin's revolver as he pulls it out of his holster and cocks it as he's pointing it at the camera. And since the camera's looking right down the barrel of the revolver, you've got to have dummy bullets in the cylinder. And if you're following protocol, you would take your dummy rounds into the set with an empty gun. You go to the first assistant director, clear the gun first. You run a rod through the barrel to where they see the orange tip come out the other end of the barrel. They know that it's clear. Then you show them all the cylinder holes. They're empty. The gun is clear. And the dummy rounds to the assistant director.
Right, because you protect yourself that way. That's smart.
Here's the BBs. Hands you around. You put it in the gun the same way for all six. It's ultimately on the first assistant director to confirm that that gun is safe.
Yeah.
But none of that happened. The first AD grabbed the gun off the cart, goes inside, hands it to Alec Baldwin, and says, cold gun. And unfortunately, you probably know the rest. And again, my heart goes out to everyone involved in this tragedy.
Right. The first AD is the one that grabbed the gun and said, cold gun, which means ready to be shot, ready to be used. Alec Baldwin couldn't have known what was going on. He just has to rely on the armorer and the prop master. And we've since heard that this particular AD is known as somebody that has been unsafe on sets before. And all these people are coming out who've worked with him and said, hey, hang on a minute. I didn't realize it was this guy. Let me tell you what happened on the set that I worked on with him. And everybody has a story about that this guy is just like really cantankerous and footloose and fancy free and not doing anything by protocol, which is really shocking because if you think of it like this, okay, as somebody who has spent a minimal amount of time on movie sets, the one thing I did notice immediately, everybody is like super duper professional. Like they go out of their way to be really respectful of each other and work really hard and make sure their work, their hard work gets noticed. Because the only way they're going to work again is if the people around them recognize that they're hard workers and they go, you know, I'm going to do another film in 6 months. You should come along. That's a lot of how the work happens. They say, you know what? You work really hard. You're really awesome. Why don't you come? And they take the whole crew with them. Also, these people are all trying really hard to win awards. So whether it's a film or a TV show, they're always trying to win awards within their industry, like cinematographer awards or camera awards, and then the larger awards that we know about, like, you know, Emmys and that sort of thing. So it's really unusual to have an AD who's so haphazard and willy-nilly and doesn't care about safety.
Yeah, I wonder if, because this was an indie film, if a lot of things weren't followed, like if it was a major motion picture.
I'm sure that had something to do with it in terms of the people that were working on the film. Because again, like, you know, if it's a Spielberg film, you know, he has the best of the best of everybody, like the armorer, the prop master. These are the people that have done props. But that's what I'm saying. These are people he's worked with before that he knows he can trust. They bring the same people with them usually. I mean, independent film, it's still union for the most part. You know, you're not going to get a bunch of people off the street like, hey, you want to handle a gun? Sure. Show me what a gun is.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, that's just not how it works in that industry. But it might be the reason why this first AD, who's known as being sort of loosey-goosey, got the job, because he was probably willing to work for less. It's an independent film. So there's definitely some aspect of it there. But again, it's still union.